This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It's the 2nd of August, 2024. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson with the news today. The HAT podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. In the news, the problem of huge property tax bills for Indiana farmers this year, and an update on California's Prop 12. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says possibly more moisture today, falling humidity through the weekend. And yesterday, corn and soybeans back lower. Mike Silver market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Property tax is a top issue for Indiana Farm Bureau and the effects of Prop 12 8 months in. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Decreased demand for their products. Challenging market prices. Farmers are facing many headwinds right now, and unfortunately, while all that unfolds, Indiana farmers are also looking at huge property tax bills this year.
Increases in anywhere from 20% to, we've heard some as high as 70%.
That's Andy Tower, Executive Director of Policy for Indiana Farm Bureau. He joined me on the latest Indiana Ag Policy podcast to discuss the property tax issue that will be the top issue for all ag groups at the State House when the General Assembly convenes in January. Tower is calling on not just Farm Bureau members, but the entire ag community, the barnyard, as he likes to refer to it, to come together on this important issue.
I think what we're going to need is those farmers, those members in the rural communities, you know, not only at the State House, but between now and January, talking to your elected officials, talking to those candidates that are up for election, letting them know, you know, the pressure that these increase in property taxes are putting on you, on your livelihood, on your properties, but also talking about some potential solutions.
Indiana Farm Bureau Vice President Kendall Culp also joined us on the podcast. He says whatever solution they come up with, he hopes it's a permanent one.
Anytime there's tweaks or there's relief given, it's at the cost of another taxpayer. It's at the expense of another taxpayer. And so back 9 years ago, we had a big effort. We got property tax relief. Senator Hirschman then carried that legislation. It lowered Farm Bureau's property tax burden, but we knew it was going to build back. And that's exactly what's happened. Here we are going to be 10 years later. Now we've built back way above where it was before. You've got that perfect storm with low commodity prices, increasing property taxes, and it's kind of like, well, that doesn't affect the ability to pay. Farm Bureau is looking for permanent and lasting relief.
The Indiana Ag Policy Podcast is presented by the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance. It's available now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
It's been 8 months now since California's Prop 12 took effect. Sabrina Halverson reports how that law has been impacting pork producers right here at home.
National Pork Producers Council economist Holly Cook says it's a costly transition for producers.
There's been a few studies done with data collected from those in the building industry and those that have decided to make a
adjustments on their farms, which shows that new construction of Prop 12 can be anywhere from $3,600 to $4,000 per sow. There's ways also to convert existing operations, but then we run into maybe losing production, having to reduce the number of animals. And so no matter kind of what way we slice it, it looks to be very expensive.
She says that expense ends up costing consumers.
There's been data that's come out of the retail channels in California. USDA economists recently compiled it and put out a report showing that retail prices are up 20 to 40% for covered pork products in California.
Cook says some pork producers won't be able to make the changes at all, and the industry may have more changes ahead.
If, you know, other states choose to adopt similar regulations or even different regulations that are going to require more from producers or maybe conflicting with the current standards set by California for their market, that could be even more expensive and challenging.
I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we look at your Friday setting up here, I think we have to deal with a little bit more moisture across the Hoosier State. The bulk of the stronger activity is farther off to the east, moving through Ohio, but on again, off again, showers are possible pretty much all day long. Now, I will tell you, overall, the moisture has way underperformed for this week, even up through what came through late yesterday and last night. So when I say we could see 60 to 70% coverage today, I am fully admitting it could be underneath that, just the way our atmosphere has given us things to work with. But I do think that we have moisture potential all through the daytime hours, and it finally goes away as we move through the evening and overnight. Tomorrow turns out partly to mostly sunny, a little bit cooler, still very humid early on. I think humidity drops as we move through Sunday, and then going into next week, Monday, Tuesday, mixed clouds and sunshine. Most moisture wants to stay north through Monday and Tuesday. The way it looks right now, Michigan is in line for moisture, not so much Indiana. Then we've got a slow sagging frontal boundary that comes overnight Tuesday night through Wednesday and into Thursday. Focal point for moisture along that front right now may be a little bit farther east into northwest Ohio, but I won't rule out northern Indiana from US 24 northward. The rest of the state, I think, ends up with a mostly dry frontal passage for Wednesday afternoon. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are cooler, less humid, and actually pretty nice, and that holds into the late weekend as well. Saturday, Sunday, the 10th and 11th, I think we put together a nice dry window there. So based on the forecast that I'm seeing right now, most of the state will have to make do with the moisture that you saw last night and through the day today to get you through all of next week. Northern Indiana may see a little bit at midweek next week, but otherwise I'm looking at a pretty dry pattern here. That's the way the forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an ideal idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
In Indiana, the lieutenant governor is also the state secretary of agriculture. This means the new lieutenant governor that we will elect this November will have a big impact on your farming operation and on the state's agriculture. The three candidates vying for this position will participate in a live debate on agriculture August 13th at 3 p.m. at the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Ag Today will live stream this debate on our website, mobile app, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. Get all the details at HoosierAgToday.com.
More losses in corn and soybeans, a slight bump in Chicago wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. Settlements from another disappointing trading session coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grab that at the end of trade from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Corn right near even, but mostly lower throughout the session, and beans lose about a nickel, roughly, so a lower day across the board. In conjunction, Mike, I believe, with the rains, which continue to dot the corn belt and put the pressure on the market because of the fact that it looks like it's going to be a good crop through to the end.
That is the perception of certainly the market right now, and especially the bears in the market, and that would be primarily the commodity funds, Andy. You're right. It looks like through the middle of August here, we had some new weather forecasts come out over the noon hour today, and it looks like we're going to have crop development friendly weather throughout most of the major crop areas in the United States through the middle of August. So the bears have been right so far, and unfortunately, they just keep pushing this market, corn and soybeans, and really wheat for that matter, to multi-year record short positions as far as they're concerned with the number of contracts they have sold. And certainly even today, we've posted another new life of contract low for the December 24 corn. And within the last several days, we've posted new life of contract lows for just about every commodity that we trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And that's depressing, obviously, because there are still folks that would like to make additional sales of both old crop and new crop, as far as that goes, that just are not being afforded the opportunity at this moment in time. So, Andy, I can't tell you the number of phone conversations that we've had with folks today included, you know, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen is going to happen is the answer. And that's not a very good one, but it does look like, based on the crop condition ratings that came out Monday, and we'll get a new round of that this coming Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. But the crop conditions throughout the Corn Belt here in the United States really look good. The excellent to good category for corn and soybeans looks very good, and is implying through some of the indexing yield models that we have a very good chance at possibly making some record yields this year. I know in talking to farmers, they are now starting to get out, walk their fields, and we'll see a lot more of that activity as we move here toward the end of August. But lots of rows around, lots of kernels long on those ears, and lots of ears because of the plant population. So, Andy, we'll just be thankful and hopeful that even at these depressed prices, and nobody likes these prices, but at the depressed prices, we'll have lots and lots of bushels. And that can still play out that way. Let's talk for a minute about the export program, because that obviously has a lot to do with why we are at the price levels we are. The old crop corn, and we've got the month of August before the end of the marketing year. August 31st is the end of the marketing year for corn and soybeans. 167.9 thousand metric tons. That's down from last week's 331. That is actually below the low end of the estimates at 275 for the week. Now, we did have for the 24-25 crop 710.9 thousand metric tons. That's down a little bit from last week at 745, but that's just short of the high end of the estimates at 800,000 tons. The soybeans came in at 376.4 thousand. That's up from last week's 88.6. And actually, it's a little better than the high end of the estimates. That's the 23-24 crop. Now, the 24-25 crop came in at 632,000. That's down 200 from last week, but it's mid-range of the estimates, 300 to 900,000 tons. And we did have 132,000 metric ton soybean sale announced to China in a flash sale today. So what we need to do is get China buying U.S. beans. Right now, if we look at our export sales for the 24-25 crop year, and that's the crop we're going to harvest this fall, we are the second lowest level of export sales in 18 years. So we really need to get our soybean export program kicked into high gear. And obviously the South American this year has been a big competitor in China. We're trying to figure out what China is going to do in terms of their purchases. And obviously the presidential election coming up here is going to have some influence on how that all ends up. But that's still a ways away. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed, Andy, that we can maintain the good pace that we have going in the corn export sales right now. In the old crop, we're actually 1% ahead of where we need to be to meet the USDA export projections for this crop year. And the next crop year, we're off to a good start. So we'll want to maintain those exports in both the corn and hope we can get our soybean exports increased. A bit of news, we'll get our next WASDE report, World Outlook Supply and Demand Report, a week from this coming Monday. So on the 12th, we'll get the WASDE report from the USDA. And the USDA has confirmed that they are in the August report, prior to the August report, NAS, that's the National Agricultural Statistics Service, is going to review all available data, including the survey data that they do, along with information from the Farm Service Agency in terms of the acres that farmers certified by July the 15th, as well as the Risk Management Agency, that's the crop insurance acres, for the actual number of acres that were planted and intend to be harvested this year. And if USDA deems that adjustments are necessary to those acreage numbers, they've said that they will make that data known and publish those results in the August WASDE report. Now, we won't know that until the 12th, so that hangs out there as a little bit of optimistic hope that we may see fewer acres, which would imply that perhaps prices can rally some. So if it's justified, USDA has said that they will make those adjustments in the August 12th report. Now, another major event that is being looked forward to is the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, which starts the 19th, a week after we get the USDA report. And we're going to see lots of boots in the fields that are going to be traversing the regular route that they travel every year on that tour, with some field observations and some yield estimates from that tour, as well as a lot of the seed companies now during the month of August in private tours across many, many thousands of acres will evaluate yield. So right now, farmers basically are keeping their fingers crossed that the weather is going to cooperate, that we'll see some really good yields. Hopefully we'll have some record yields in the harvest that's going to come up now in not so many weeks ahead. This crop is maturing fast, and hopefully if the weather plays out, we should see some good yields. And hopefully we'll see an uptick in foreign buyers coming into the U.S. to pick up some much needed supply of corn and soybeans from a global perspective. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to execute a really good and safe productive harvest come harvest season 24, Andy.
Commentary from Mike Silver. He's with Kokomo Grain. His number is 800-666-0613. Now, settlements from Thursday trade, very quiet at the end in corn. September down 0.75, 382. Dece ends at 398.5, down 0.25. March, 0.5 lower, 415.25. August beans, 6.5 down at 1022. September, 1009, 0.5 lower. 6 cents down on the Novi at 1016.5. And 4.75 up on September and December wheat. SEP 532, Dece 556.75. Meats mixed, very weak in cattle futures. October live cattle 183.72, down 2.95. And October lean hogs 77.02, up $1.10. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.